Well, good morning. It is certainly good to be with you this morning in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and that is so true. Scriptures, of course, it's true. It's a living word, isn't it? You know, you have an anniversary this particular Sunday, and I didn't really know about that until fairly recent, but it got me to thinking about 30 years ago, sort of our anniversary in that sense, and that's when we first arrived on the mission field down in Bonaire with Transworld Radio. How many know where Bonaire is? Dutch Netherlands Antilles. I'm sure some of you would know that. Well, just for some of you that don't know, Bonaire is one of the ABC islands in the Dutch Netherlands Antilles, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curaçao. And Bonaire is off the coast of Venezuela about 50 miles, and it is probably the furthest into the Atlantic of these particular islands. If you looked at Bonaire from your perspective, it looks like Africa, okay? The island is 23 miles long and about 7 miles wide. And we arrived there, what was it, in November of 30 years ago. We were committed to the Lord's work and have been ever since. It was a very interesting time for us. But on this island, on the south end of the island, it was almost completely flat. It looked like Africa, okay? Just sort of a hump at the top. But on this southern tip, about 22 square kilometers of this island was completely flat. In fact, it was below sea level, most of it. But there was a certain thing that really happened there, which I thought was very interesting. There was a road that ran around the outside of it, okay? There's a ring road around this southern part of the island. But what did they do there? They harvested salt. Okay? Salt. Jan Geling was the manager of the solar salt works down on that south end. And he and, or myself, and Ray Allery is now the president of TWR Canada in London, Ontario. He and I are good friends. We had together the opportunity to go with Jan and in this little pickup truck, which was getting rusted out, and drive and look at this whole solar salt works. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13? Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. What song did just we hear? I need thee every hour. And why? I think the second song answered that question so that we might become pure and shine forth like gold. But here's the interesting thing about the solar salt works. Probably to the east of Bonaire, the closest land is about 500 miles away. And all the wind blows from the east to the west. And so the eastern side of the island is continually bombarded with breakers and rollers and waves and everything else. Now, the west side of the island where we lived was quite quiet. In that 23-mile stretch, there was a 20-foot-wide gap. 20 foot wide, with a bridge going across because they said there was this road going around. And the waves would bring water into the salt pans, into the salt flats. That's all it took, was the waves, the wind would blow this water, raise it up, and it would roll underneath this bridge and carry on its way into the salt flats. What does the Bible say in Matthew again? Narrow is the way that leads to life. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there go by it, but few come through that narrow gate. If you took from Venezuela to Florida, how many miles is that? And in this 23-mile island, a 20-foot gap, there's not much water comes in. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain, because He, if you know Him today as your Lord and Savior, Can you imagine? You could have missed that 20-foot gap. But you didn't. It's by God's grace. But you know, that water, oh, it's got a certain percentage of salt. But it has to go through a process before it becomes usable. And you see, for the first while, this water goes along, and it is, because it's being encouraged with others, water coming in, it begins to flow. And as it flows, there are two things that begin to work on this water. Heat and wind. And what does that cause? Evaporation, doesn't it? And what does that do? Well, as it gets rid of the water, of course it becomes more salty. But there are impurities within this water. I wasn't going to show you this because I don't think it's very big. But I don't know if you can see this. That this is not the Bonaire salt works, but you can see there's a variety of colors in this particular picture. And it's divided up. Some of it looks pink. Some of it looks darker. See, the impurities, because of the concentration of salt, they drop out. They drop out. Isn't that like the Lord in our life, the sun and the wind of the Holy Spirit, as they work in our lives, that we begin to lose the impurities as we walk in sweet fellowship with Him? I need Thee every hour to become shining like gold. And that can only happen as we are into the Word of God and as the Holy Spirit works in our lives and we become more salty. More salty. You know, from time to time, there's actually only twice in all of this period of time where the water is lifted up through, one of them is actually a wind-driven pump. And it's constant because the wind blows about, I think it's 12 miles an hour. Of course, back then we didn't have kilometers, did we? And the wind would constantly, you know, you've seen these old farm pumps, you know, they're just up and down and up and down. And so this water gets encouraged in that sense and gets lifted up and begins to flow further. And as the wind and the heat of the sun continue to work on it, what I found interesting is this. One particular point where this water is in the reddish color, guess what breeds there? Flamingos. Bonaire is known for its flamingos. And when you get up on this, they have in the south end of this island, they have an observatory. You can get up on the roof there and you can overlook this flamingo pond, they used to call this. All kinds of nests. It was a breeding ground. Whether it's true or not, some people say that the color of the flamingo comes because of the color of the salt plains, this pink color. I mean, God can do amazing things. I haven't studied that out. But that water's getting saltier, and yet it's able to sustain this flock of flamingos. You see, God doesn't leave us apart from, even though we're not maybe where we ought to be or where we should be, but we are still salt of the earth as we come into and through that narrow gate. Oh, we know that some people still have rough edges. They're rough diamonds, aren't they? Maybe we need a more hammer. The Lord's going to use that hammer and chisel. Sometimes it hurts. But the Lord still uses us as salt. And as a result of that, we too can encourage others in the Scriptures, our children maybe, a cousin, an aunt, or an uncle. It's still, He allows us to use His Word and to introduce others to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that was an encouragement to me to see that in this whole solar salt works, these flamingos breeding and life continuing on. And I thought to myself, Lord, only You can do that, can't You? And so we see that this water continues to go through. But it's still not really usable salt. And I find that amazing because when Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." Luke chapter 14 and 15. "So likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." The salt pans. There's another point where the water is lifted, this time 6 feet. 6 feet by electric pumps this time. And it's really in the last part where the water goes through these channels. And I think, from what I can remember, the water travels, once it enters this narrow gate, it travels about 12 miles before it gets to this actual solar pans where there's a real concentration of salt. Because the water isn't fit to become into these pans until it is a certain saltiness. And so we see that this, after the 6 feet, it carries on and it goes through and it gets poured into these salt pans. Now, what I found interesting was that, here's another thing that I didn't realize. At one particular year there, we had rain and it washed out the salt that was in these salt pans. And it took them another year, 13 months, in order to build that foundation so that other salt could grow on that. Salt, to become salty, needs a foundation. I didn't know that. And I think it's 4 to 6 inches deep. Who is your foundation? We don't have to build on any other foundation except the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, Lord, so salty. And yet, apart from that foundation, the salt cannot begin to be harvested. Who is your foundation? Is it the Lord Jesus Christ? As this water comes in, it's constantly coming into this salt pan, and there may be acres in size. As you can see, they're fairly large. This is an aerial photograph. I know some of you can't see it too far away. But the salt comes in there, and how long does it take? 13 months. 13 months of this salt water coming into there, and it just keeps going and going. The wind and the heat of the sun keeps evaporating the water until the salt crystals grow, and there's enough to harvest after 1 year and 1 month. Salt takes time. You know, when you see a young person come to the Lord, they're very enthusiastic, many of them. And that's great, because God can use them. But there's a process of maturing in the believer's life. You know, the evidence that you're walking in the narrow way is that you're walking in the narrow way according to the Scriptures. Sometimes it's not easy. But what happens during the process of your walk in the Lord, He's going to chisel away with you at your hammer. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you. As He opens the Scriptures to us, so we become convicted, become more and more conformed to Him. You don't think that's a conformity in the right direction? I believe it is. And so finally, the salt is no good until it is harvested and at least sent out. And so you see that these bulldozers, these earthworks movers, you know, they're just big scrapers that you would see alongside the road when they're digging up this dirt. And it could be anywhere from 4 to 6 or 7 or 8 feet wide, and they'll scrape this top layer off that has actually grown on that 6-inch foundation, that base. It comes up in a conveyor belt, and there's a truck or whatever on the, just like a grain machine, you know, it just, when it's full, the hopper's full, it goes in and they take it out. And it's dumped in long rows. In fact, it's quite interesting because they're probably, these rows are huge. I think we climbed up to the top once and they're probably 40, 50 feet high. A big pile of salt in a big long row. And of course, it's right next to a conveyor belt. And when their chip comes in, it gets dumped on the conveyor up and into the boat and it is taken out. Isn't that like the Lord in our lives? We have become salty, but salt isn't of any use until it is taken out and distributed. See, God doesn't want us to sit here and be comfortable here. No, he wants us to be out there as well, doesn't he? We're in the world, but not of it. Do you know, the first mention of salt that recorded history was in Egypt, probably about 4,000 years ago. And I found this interesting, that salt was very valuable and it was used, of course, as to preserve and flavor foods. Salt started to be used as money and originated the current Latin derivative as the term salary. Okay? Some people have heard of salaries. You know, a lot of you guys are probably on your salaried or whatever. That's where it comes from. Salt was so scarce that it could be traded for gold at one time. You know, the Roman armies, they would have men or people along with them who would actually produce salt for the army because you can't live without salt. In England, the salt was taxed to such a degree that the cattle were dying because they couldn't get enough salt for their cattle until finally there was a revolt. And fortunately, that the English government, the royalty said, okay, we'll take the tax off. It was the cause of wars. It was salt. But we don't see that today because it's so plentiful. But in Jesus' time, it was of great value, greater than what you and I can think. Are you and not of great value to the Lord Jesus Christ? He gave his life for you. We are salty. We need to become salty. We need to become salty. I found this interesting about salt as well. And that is, when heat is applied to salt water and the water evaporates, salt is left as a pure, solid substance, but with special chemical qualities. Did you know that salt is really, it's a miracle? Let me tell you. It is composed of two poisons, chloride and sodium. Sodium chloride, right? If you ingest either of these by itself, you're going to die. You ever like to drink some chlorine? You know? But you put them together, and you have common, ordinary salt. And then that which brings death somehow comes together to bring life. And that's a miracle. You know you can't live without salt? Isn't that like the Lord Jesus Christ? We have been poisoned by sin through Adam. And death is looming in the shadows. Physical death, I'm talking eternal death. But the scripture says that the wages of sin is death. But when the sinful life is confronted by the grace of God and his death, and these two negatives merge, it forms to bring about a positive redemption. And the verse says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 6:23. Death through Adam and Christ's death. You bring them together. We have redemption through his blood. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Remember the song, "It Took a Miracle to Put the Stars in Place"? It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. See, the strength of salt comes from the strong chemical charges that hold sodium chloride together. In the believer, the bonding factor, of course, is the Holy Spirit who empowers us. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Do you know that salt molecules are bonded tightly together in an orderly manner? Remember how you had some of these, well, have you ever tried it, putting a salt shaker, putting out some salt and balancing that salt shaker on a bit of an angle? I haven't been too successful at it. But salt molecules are actually cubes. What about this? The salt molecules join with each other in an alternating pattern of positive and negative ions. They form a crystal. What does the scripture say about the bonding of believers? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. There is unity within the body of Christ and the church, both local and universal. Recently, I heard it said, and I just value this little bit of information, about the differences in evangelicalism. Simply put, in the essentials, like doctrine, in the essentials, salvation by faith alone and Christ alone, that's what I mean. In the essentials, unity. In the non-essentials, liberty. In all else, charity. I've been thinking about that. If we were to do that in the essentials, unity, wouldn't we have greater unity among believers? But if it was in the non-essentials, those things that didn't really matter when it hinged upon our relationship in order salvation, that we should have liberty, a little more liberty with other believers of like precious faith. And in all else, charity. Oh, I'm sure you know some people who would probably be, you know, they just hit you the wrong way or they don't really see eye to eye with you. But does it really matter? Do not we who know the Lord have to become and be salty and maybe give a little more charity? Last week, I happened to be at this home. I was doing some plumbing. They invited me there, and I didn't know that the couple would be there. It was a cottage just around down by our road. I knew he wasn't well all winter, but they asked me to keep an eye on the cottage, so we did. And every time we went by, Kathy and I would just send up a little prayer for them because it's sort of a good reminder when you're driving by their place and they've asked you to sort of keep an eye on it. I'd asked him the week before, I said, will we see you on the weekend? He says, no, I don't think so. But then I got a call on Friday night, and I went over on Saturday because I couldn't finish the job. And his wife met me outside and tears in her eyes, and she said, my husband, who you know has leukemia, they have given him only about 4 months to live. I went inside. She said, why don't you visit with my husband? And she said, I'm going to finish up outside. And I finished the job. But of course, we talked for about half an hour. And I said to him, his name is Paul. And they go to the Presbyterian Church, or that's what she tells me. So I began to talk to him about salvation and eternity. And I said, Paul, have you ever heard this verse in John 3:16? I said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I said, have you ever heard that, Paul? He says, no, I haven't. They're supposedly, they go to a Presbyterian church. So we chatted about it. I don't know what the Lord has left in his mind, but with so little time, knowing that he can have eternal life, we need to pray for him. If you're going to pray for anybody, pray for Paul. He's 75 years old. He has leukemia. He doesn't have much longer to live. He's in blood transfusion every week. You know, salt is necessary for life. It's necessary for life. You know, there are a number of things that happen if it wasn't for salt. It's essential to life. The blood vessels would collapse if we did not have salt in earth. The nervous system would cease to function. Acid in the blood would become unbalanced. Stomach lining would be eaten away. The kidneys would malfunction, and blood pressure would be unstable. You know, I have so much more, but we're not going to be able to speak on that. Salt is essential to life. If Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth," you are essential to life. Could be the life of someone beside you, your neighbor, someone you might come to a coffee shop. Oh, that God would give us the boldness to speak of him. It's not always easy. It isn't always easy. Spurgeon once said, "Why should we proclaim the wisdom of men when we have the privilege of preaching the word of God?" Acts 17, verse 10 and 12 says, "And brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who came thither and went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few." It is essential to life itself. See, when the salt went onto those ships and it was distributed, sometimes the chunks of salt can be that big. What happens between there and the salt shaker? It is broken. It is broken. In order to be useful for you and I, it's broken and spilt out. Broken and spilt out. Do you remember the story of Mary and the alabaster box? That ointment was expensive ointment was poured on the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. The bottle was broken and poured out. Reminds me of the song. Broken and spilled out just for love of you, Jesus. Most precious treasures lavished on thee. Broken and spilled out, poured at your feet in sweet abandon. Let me be poured out and used up for thee. One day, a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarded the scorn. Once it was broken and spilled out, the fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner set free from his shackles, like a spirit released from the tomb. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." We know Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Walk as salty Christians today. There's so much. If you took a study of this salt, it's amazing what happens. And when we really apply these lessons, and we don't have the time for it this morning, but I'm just you know, that whole solar salt works. And I'm going to finish by saying this. On the southern end of the island, there's a lighthouse. There's a lighthouse. And when we arrived there, not more than about within 500 yards, there was a shipwreck. You see, it had missed noticing the light. Whether the captain or the pilot was asleep, I don't know. But it ran into the shore, and it was destruction. When we left, about 5-6 years later, there was not a trace of that ship. When we came back after a year, we were at Hope Valley Day Camp, and our friends had taken in this young man. His story was this, that his father and his sister were in the sailboat ahead, and there was a rope tying his little boat, and he was just asleep in the other boat, and he began to hear the breakers as they were coming towards the shore of Bonaire. And he hollered and screamed at his father to wake them up, but it was too late. He jumped out of his little boat, and he saw his father and his sister smash into Bonaire with these waves pounding and heard the screams as they died. It was too late for them, but not for him. He abandoned ship, but it saved him. People are dying around us. We need to become salty. Lord, help me to become more salty. And I trust that as you consider him, not only is he worthy because he was slain, he is worthy through you to reach out to others, that God would do that for you. Let's just pray. Father, in simplicity this morning, you've asked us and said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out on the dung heap and be trodden under foot of men. Father, make us salty. I need thee every hour. Father, that your life might be reflected in our lives, in my life, as gold reflects the light. May we reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness to us, for that salvation which brought eternity to us, eternal life, redemption, justification through grace by faith. Father, we thank you this morning and ask your blessing as we proceed in fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Jake?